Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, we are starting a brand new series. And this series we're starting today is going to last for the summer. The title is simply called Encountering Jesus, or Having Encounters with Jesus. Here's the deal. I know at the end of the summer, how many of you already have plans this summer? Let me start this way. How many of you got plans this summer of some sort? Wow, some of you you're just going to exist this summer. Well, make some plans this summer. Go to Applebee's or Dairy Queen or Sonic or somewhere. Make some plan to do something. Here's what I've discovered. If you don't plan it, it doesn't happen. Did you know that? If you don't plan it, it doesn't happen. And so I would challenge you to make some plans this summer. Some of you have already been sharing your plans. You like got these countdowns going on your phone. 17 days to Disney, or 2 weeks to the lake, or 6 months to retirement. You got all these countdowns. You're getting ready for these encounters you want to have. Well, here's the deal. I want to make sure this summer each of us have encounters with Jesus. Amen. Me and Vicky are excited about that. I said, I want to make sure this summer we have encounters with Jesus. Wouldn't it be horrible to go back to school in the fall, back to your routine in the fall, to get over this month and you're entering the next season of your life just as empty as you're exiting this season? See, I think the Lord kind of gives us strategic breaks in our calendar, not just so that we can relax, but also that we can refresh. And so this summer, we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus, not just to learn something, but to experience something. Did you know when you read your Bible, you got two choices? You can either learn something or you can experience something. They're not mutually exclusive. You can actually do both. You can learn something in your head and experience something in your heart. And I pray that's what happens to us this summer as a church. And so to get us started, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3. A passage that many of you have read dozens of times. We've kind of acted out here on Wednesday night sometimes. Matthew chapter 13 says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it." Let me just take a time out here. Have you ever tried to talk Jesus out of something? You ever had the Lord tell you, "Hey, go say something to somebody. Hey, go buy that guy's lunch. Hey, go up and talk to someone you don't know. Be kind to a stranger on the street." Jesus, he knows what the Lord's supposed to do, and yet he has someone trying to talk him out of it. He says, "I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Father, I love you today, and I'm thankful for every person within the sound of my voice, whether they're in the room, watching online, or listening to a podcast months from now. God, I pray that today the Word of God will work. Work in my heart, work in my life, Lord, work in the listener's heart, work in their life today. I pray that at the conclusion of this message, the needed work in each of our lives will be done. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everyone said amen. Today I want to speak on this phrase found in verse number 16. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were open. I want to ask you to say that phrase with me. The heavens were open. Let's say it again. The heavens were open. Now listen, I can be here all day long. Matter of fact, I will be here most of the day. So this side of the room, y'all are few in number. So you gotta pick it up. Nudge your neighbor. Tell them you gotta pick it up, all right? Let's say it all together. Your mark is set. The heavens were open. As we talk about encountering Jesus today and this summer, I'm just praying, God, would you please give us an open heaven. What happened when Jesus came out of the water? We all see the picture of the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. But a lot of times we skip over this one part. It said the heavens were open. Well, what does that mean? It means that the favor of God that had been resting on Jesus his entire life in this moment, the heavens were open. Everyone begins to see what only Jesus could see. The plan of God that people knew, they had heard about, it became evident. I'm praying, God, this summer, would you let the plan of God, would you let your desire for our lives become evident? Lord, don't let it be something we've heard about it. Let it be something we see. How many would like to go from theory to experience? Amen? To go from what you heard of to what you're seeing. Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens were open. I'm just praying, God, open the heavens again. They begin to experience Jesus in a new dimension. It was a supernatural encounter for Jesus. It was a supernatural encounter for those who were there. It was a supernatural encounter for John, who was baptizing him. It was a simple act, right? Many of us in this room, I would just like to ask you, how many times have you seen someone get baptized? Went on saying thousands. It seems that right way sometimes. I thank God for, I hope we see thousands more in our church alone. Amen. But baptism, it seems like this simple act. I mean, matter of fact, we had a baptism here yesterday. It's just something that we do over and over, and we understand it has symbolic things, and we celebrate, but you know, it seems like a simple thing, but yet out of the simplicity of the obedience of Jesus, this huge moment happens. And if you want to write something down today, write this: simple acts on our part often lead to huge movements and moments on God's part. If we'll be simply commit to do what God has called us to do, He will do what we think is unbelievable. It's a simple moment. He stepped out and told John, hey, I need to be baptized. Think about it. It was a simple encounter. It was in the wilderness. No one is there. There's no cameras. There's no fanfare. There's no high value people there that he's trying to impress. It's a simple act of doing what God told him to do. But this simple act, It wells up into this supernatural demonstration of God's power that didn't just affirm Jesus. It affirmed the mission of Jesus. It affirmed the ministry of John. It did this huge thing just because Jesus chose to obey. You know, just for a little bit of groundwork, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did Jesus need to be baptized anyway? I mean, let's talk about it. Why do we get baptized? And maybe you've never been water baptized and you've wondered yourself, why would I need to do that? Well, let's talk about it for just a minute. What does baptism mean? Well, baptism means that you know, when you go down in the water, that my old life is gone, right? It symbolizes my old life is gone. And when I come up out of the water, I'm raised into new life. It's an exciting, wonderful, symbolic demonstration of what God is doing in someone's life. But why did Jesus need to do it? I mean, he had no sins to be repented of. And John's baptism is actually known as a baptismal of repentance. It's not like Jesus had an old life he needed to get washed off from spiritually or physically. It's not like he had some need, some new life he needed to demonstrate. No, he wasn't like that, but he was baptized anyway for several reasons. Number one, it identified him with us. Right? It's a great picture because, you know, one day Jesus would take not his own sins that demanded death and a cross. He would take someone else's sins to the cross that demanded death. It wasn't his sins that took him to the cross. It was my sins and it was your sins. And what a great way for Jesus to just pronounce to the world, the reason I am here is not because I am a person in need of a Savior, but I am in Savior, ready to take the sins of the world to the cross. He came to identify with people. He didn't go into the waters because he needed, he had sins to be repented of. He went into the water because he knew our sins had to be repented of. It was a way to set an example to follow. I know sometimes we've all met people who were good at saying, don't do what I do, just do what I say. But Jesus isn't that kind of Savior. He set the perfect example. He was baptized to testify, you know, about the death that one day he would die. That yes, just as the waters of baptism, it symbolizes as we go into the water that we are being buried with Christ. And if we're buried with Christ, then what will also rise again. It was symbolic that Jesus was saying, yes, one day this body will be buried in death, but when you bury me, I'm not going to stay there. It's not a permanent situation. I'm not going to go down in death and stay, but they're just going to dip me a little bit in death. And then I'm going to raise again on the third day. But friends, can I tell you, that is the same promise every believer in Jesus Christ has, that death will never have a permanent grip on your life. Right? That's what Jesus was. He's signifying all that. He's validated the ministry of John. All this symbolic stuff is happening, but on top of everything that is symbolic, a portion of reality happened, was changed as well. The heavens were open. The invisible became visible. The favor of God that had been present all of Jesus' life became present and evident to all those that were with him. Did you know this morning? Some of you aren't going to believe me. That's okay. Did you know there is a favor of God? There is favor of God upon your life that is waiting to be revealed in your life. And I just want to tell you, it's one step of obedience away. How far is it? When does the favor that I know is upon my life become visible in my life? I can't give you a date. I can't give you a time. I can't give you a season. But I know this, every step of obedience you take brings you one step closer to the promise of God. So I'm praying, God, give us an open heaven for my life. Give us an open heaven as our church. And which brings me to the question of how can we position ourselves for this open heaven that Jesus experienced? How can we have this type of encounter? I want to give you three or four ways real quick this morning. Number one, we have to realize that details matter. Tell your neighbor that details matter. Jesus went to Galilee from Galilee to the Jordan. John tried to talk him out of it. But Jesus said, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you, for we must carry out all, what's that word again, all that God's requires. See, Jesus did not see God's directives as a buffet to pick and choose from. Right? How many of you remember what a buffet was before COVID, right? Yes, they were heavenly, right? I mean, divorced from all the bacteria that grows on them. They were heavenly, right? You walk up there and you just pick out what you want, and if you don't like it, you don't get it, right? If you go to the pizza place, you just pick out all the sausage and extra cheese, and you leave the pepperoni and the plain cheese, and you just get what is most valuable to you. But Jesus didn't see the directives of God as a buffet to pick and choose from. No, he says this, if my Father says it, that I am determined to fulfill every good deed that God has for my life. Friends, if we want to open heaven over our life, we've got to stop picking and choosing which of God's commands we're going to follow. And like Jesus, we've got to say, I am determined to fulfill every detail, every plan that God has for my life. You cannot pick and choose which scripture to follow. You cannot embrace partial obedience and experience the full blessing of God. You understand that? But many people are. They're just trying to, they're taking a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of pop culture, a little bit of this way of thinking, a little bit of self-help and a little bit of God's Word. And they're mixing it all together and they're wondering, why am I not experiencing an open heaven over my life? It's because we're picking and choosing which of God's directions to follow. Every time I get ready to put together some sort of piece of furniture that I bought from some store, I realized details matter. I'll never forget several years ago, Megan and I went to buy our first dining room table as a married couple, and we drove from, I forgot where we were living, but I know we drove to Little Rock to buy it, and it's the same dining room table we have in our house now. And we picked it out, we bought it, and I told the salesman, I said, we were driving like a Ford Explorer at the time. I said, I'll be back tomorrow with a trailer to pick it up. He said, oh, we'll give it to you now. I said, no, I'm in like a little SUV, I can't get it now. He said, no, just pull around back, we can get it in there. I said, there's no way. He said, our guys are experts, we can get it to you. So I drove around the back, and that's when I realized the dining room table and chairs I just bought were in like boxes. I mean, I wanted to just like, well, hold up, time out. No, right? But you know, we crammed them in there. I went home and I spent the rest of the night putting chairs together, only to, when I get them put together, understand I should have looked at the pictures better and read the instructions, because the back was supposed to curve. You know, you're supposed to be able to sit back like this, and Stevie had to sit like this, and it was, details matter. When it comes to our relationship with God, I want to tell you, details matter. We cannot just decide that I'm going to follow Him in this area and not in another area. We have to say, Lord, I want to embrace all You have for me. I don't know, for some of you say, Pastor, you don't understand. I hate details. I kind of do too. I mean, sometimes people are wanting to tell me a story, and I just want to tell them, just, right? Skip it. Just tell me. Somebody's having a heart attack. I don't want the YouTube video that's 12 minutes on how to give CPR. I want the 15-second video. And it doesn't matter. Actually, it doesn't matter if it's about a heart attack or a whatever, clean and disposal. I want the short one. But here's what I know. We need to follow God, not just in part of our life, but in the details of our life. We've got to follow Him in the details of our life. And I would say this, you cannot discount the power of simple obedience to God in the details of your life. Sometimes people are like, I want to follow God in the big things, in the big moments. But I want to just point out to you, this open heaven over Jesus' life didn't happen in a big moment. It happened at a simple baptismal service in the middle of nowhere. When no one was watching, there was little expectation of Jesus. He was in the crowd. He wasn't part of the show. He's just attending. But He decided, I'm going to honor God in this detail that no one else thinks matters. And all of a sudden, this detail moment becomes a powerful moment. Friends, you have no idea what God will do in your life if you choose to honor Him in the details of your life. I would just say this to you. Stop trying to live your life seeking big opportunities. Instead, live your life being faithful in the details. I want to say that again. Be faithful in the details. You could take this same lesson and flip it around backwards, and it would preach like this. Small exceptions create huge problems. John tried to get Jesus to make an exception. Hey, Jesus, You're the master, I'm the servant. You should be baptizing me, not you. I would even say that sometimes it's easier to obey God in the big things than it is in the details. But the blessing of God begins to flourish when we serve Him in the details, which brings me to point number two. Our obedience to God often precedes new experiences with Jesus. Now, how many would like a new experience with Jesus? Pick and choose the area of your life. I want more of God's spiritual, supernatural flow in my life. I want more of God's flow in the financial aspects of my life. I want God's blessing to flow more in my relationships, more in my marriage, more in my ministry. You just fill in the blanks. Where you want the blessing of God and how you want to flow in your life, here's what I know. Obedience to God in that area always precedes His blessings in that area. Good preaching, Pastor. Man, I just thank you so much. I can't stand it. Please sit back down. Please. But look at verse number 16. It says, huge word here. After his baptism, after he obeyed his heavenly Father in this simple detail, the heavens opened. Man, you know, I've discovered there's three big things that keep people from experiencing new favor of God in their life. The first one's simply this, pride. How many know that sometimes obedience to God challenges your pride? Right? It's like Peter, when Jesus called Peter and said, hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat for a great catch. What was Peter's response? Aye, aye, Captain. No, Peter said, Lord, we've been here all night fishing and we haven't caught anything. Peter was saying, he almost said to Jesus, I know you're the rabbi, but stay in your lane. I'm the fisherman, you're the preacher, leave the fishing up to me. I mean, you can sense that coming out of Peter's mouth. He says, Lord, we've been trying all night long. You can sense Peter's pride in being a professional fisherman rising to the occasion. But he said, but yet at your word, we'll do it. And what happened? He had an experience with God, with Jesus, with the provider, with Jehovah Jireh. He had an experience with him like he never had before. Why? Because he obeyed God in that area of your life. He said, I'm going to lay my pride aside and I'm going to obey Jesus. Second reason people miss new experiences with God is not just because of their pride, but because of their fear. Think of the children of Israel. God promised them the promised land. He led them to the promised land miraculously, right through the parting of the sea, the engulfing of the enemy. And they get there and they just can't trust God for what they're facing today. They said, man, we look like grasshoppers compared to these giants. There's no way. Third reason people don't have the new experience, they don't obey God, is out of pride. Number two is out of trust. Number three is out of cost or sacrifice. You know, Matthew had to leave his tax collecting booth in order to find real purpose in following Jesus. Let me just say some of these things in a sentence form and move on. Number one, or let me say it like this. My obedience, I really believe this, my obedience financially will precede my next breakthrough financially. My obedience relationally will precede my next breakthrough in my relationships. My obedience to God and my current level of leadership or ministry will precede my promotion in the next level of ministry or leadership. There are blessings and experiences from God that you and I may be putting on hold while we refuse to obey Him. Write this down this morning. Supernatural blessings are tied to our obedience to our natural activity. The supernatural flows through the natural as it's submitted to God. That's why James chapter 5 says, if any of you are sick among you, call forth the elders of the church to lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. James chapter 5 says, if you're sick, call forth the elders. Have them pray for you. Pastor, how does that work? I don't know how it works, but here's what I know. When we call forth the elders of the church and we pray for them, God heals people. We started men's prayer this morning in an exciting way because I said, hey, here's this person we've been praying for. They're here today. Is Ronnie in this service? Look at that guy right there. Deanne scared me to death a few weeks ago. Said he was in a coma. But he walked into men's prayer this morning. Second person on our men's prayer list. We've been praying for him for several months. He called me Friday night. We were at the baseball game. He said, Pastor, I'll be at church Sunday morning at second service. He's going to see him next service. I'm just telling you, when you obey God in the natural, you open the door to the supernatural. But too many people, we keep praying and begging for God to do the supernatural while we disobey Him in the natural. And friends, you can spend the rest of your life wasting your prayer if you're not going to obey God. Pastor, that's pretty stout. I know it's stout. But it works. Too many people, I'll put myself in the same boat at times. We want new experiences without new commitment. We want more power without more responsibility. We want to feel more of God without pushing. Listen, I'm getting kind of on a soapbox now. I got to get off of it. But too many times we want to feel more of God without pushing past our feelings to experience it. Sometimes to feel more of God, you got to push past your feelings. You understand that? That's why we walk by faith and not by feelings. Jesus pushed beyond people's expectations to do what God told him to do. His obedience invited the demonstration of God's pleasure and God's power like never before. We love to say the scripture, the truth will set you free. And it will, but I would like to add a caveat to that too. Just to recognize the more of God's truth I embrace, the more freedom I'll experience. And likewise, the more of God's truth I ignore, the more bondage I invite. Number three, how can I experience open heaven? Obey God. Obey Him in the details. And third, create a resting place for the Spirit of God. Now, I know I spent a whole message preaching about this a year or two ago. But look at verse number 16. It says, after he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. John chapter 1, verse number 32, John writes using this language, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove. And here's what he said. It remained on him. Remained. Do you understand there's some language in Ephesians chapter 4 that talks about don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only do what's helpful, building up one another, bringing grace to those who listen. Listen to this language. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve. What does that mean? It means that I am, it's possible that I can act in a way that brings grief to the heart of God. Right? The Holy Spirit, he landed on Jesus and he remained. Why? Because he found an environment that was welcoming to him. I just wonder how much of the environment of our life is welcoming to the Holy Spirit. Or do we grieve him to the extent that he doesn't feel welcome any longer? You know, I love watching couples who are expecting their first child, and they usually have, they start, you know, documenting every trip to Toys R Us or Babies R Us. I know those places don't exist anymore, but, you know, their trips to Walmart when they start buying the stroller and buying the matching pillows and all this stuff, and they start prepping the nursery, and they start building their nursery, and they'll start putting their pictures on Facebook. I'll never forget during that season where Megan and I were expecting with Stella, and, you know, we did all this stuff. People were giving us stuff with their names embroidered on it. It was, you know, you do that for your first child, right? You're welcoming. You're making a place for that to come. You're making a place for understanding someone's about to come live here. Someone's about to join us. Someone's about to take up residence in this place. And so you redesign your whole life, making room for this baby that's about to come. In the same way, I wonder, are we rearranging our whole life, making way for the Holy Spirit to come and rest on us? He came, the Bible says, he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit rested on him. Now, I know it's easy for us to say, well, obviously there was nothing in the heart of Jesus that would grieve the Holy Spirit. But friends, I believe the same way as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 14, we should be living a life that is welcoming the Holy Spirit, not to visit us. I'm going to mess up some of you this morning, but I think we need to stop praying prayers that says, God or Holy Spirit, come and visit us. We need to start saying prayers like this. Holy Spirit, come and rest on us. Come and settle on us. Come and remain on us. Come and find favor in our lives that welcomes you every moment of our day. Don't visit us. Move on in with us. And we got to live to please the Father. Jesus came up. The Holy Spirit ascended, and then the voice of the Father said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Several different times in Jesus' life, we see the affirmation of the Father. I don't think God spoke an audible voice for Jesus' benefit only. I believe he was speaking for the benefit of others around. Jesus already knew he was God's beloved Son and who God is well pleased. But he wanted other people to know, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And I have to ask you this question this morning. If you're going to invite an open heaven over your life, we have to be more concerned with pleasing God than we do with pleasing people. And that's hard for some of us, because some of us in this room, we are like, we're professional people pleasers, right? We're P-cubed. We should put that on our shirt, right? Professional people pleaser. And we'll make ourselves miserable trying to please other people. But you know, Galatians chapter 1, Paul says this: "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." In other words, Paul's saying there's times when trying to please people and trying to please God are going to be at odds with each other. One of the most liberating things I was ever taught in ministry was when someone finally set me down and let me know that, "Greg, as a pastor, as a minister, people will always be disappointed in you." Great. Isn't that exciting? To know that people will always be disappointed. But they didn't stop there. They said this: "The only question is this. Will they be disappointed because you're pushing them the right way? Or be disappointing because you're pushing people the wrong way?" We're always going to be disappointing people. If you're the chief people pleaser in the room today, let me just tell you, you are going to fail. What did you learn at church today? Pastor told me I was going to be a failure. Yep. You are going to fail at pleasing people. But here's some good news. If you will focus on pleasing God, you can succeed. Doesn't mean you're not going to have hiccups, but did you know pleasing God is possible? Right? Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that means if I act on faith, if I'm a person of faith, then all of a sudden it becomes possible for my life to bring pleasure to the Father. Lecrae says it like this: "If you live for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection." We can't live like that. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. We're asking this summer, but more specifically, we're asking today. We're praying today. Father, give us an open heaven. And Lord, we're not looking for things to chase after, people to chase after. We're not looking for formulas. We're just looking for you. We're looking for you. And Lord, we know that as you obeyed the Father, Jesus, as you obeyed the Father in the details of your life, in details that seemed minute and inconsequential to some people, Lord, it made way for this open heaven to appear. And I pray this morning there are people who have been in this room. They've been seeking the favor of God like crazy. But they've glanced over embracing you in the details of their life. And I pray that today, that they'll just embrace you in the details of their life. They'll obey you in the details of their life. They'll welcome you into the details of their life. That they'll understand that their next breakthrough experience is just beyond their next trusting experience. Their next experience of trusting you with the area of their life, obeying you in the area of their life, welcoming you in that area of their life. So I pray this morning, God, you give us all a new encounter as we commit to following you. This moment, this morning, I want to ask, just this morning, if you're not a Christ follower, let today be the day you choose to follow Jesus. That's a decision that you can make privately, but the Word does declare that it needs to be made publicly. So find someone and go public with your faith today. Let someone know that today I'm choosing to follow Jesus. And secondly, today I would challenge you in the area of welcoming this new dimension of Jesus in your life, this new dimension of open heaven in your life. If while I was preaching today, the Holy Spirit prodded you in some area of your life, don't ignore that, but respond to it. And likewise, I would even challenge you to find someone today and let them know what area the Holy Spirit challenged you today so that they can pray with you and they can help hold you accountable in that area of your life so that we can all together welcome an open heaven, an encounter with Jesus, not just occasionally, but regularly in our life. And I want to pray for you this morning if that's you making that decision today. Father, I just pray over the people in the room. I pray for those watching online today. I pray the Spirit of God would rest upon them. I pray that we would be welcoming stations of your Holy Spirit today. Not places where your Spirit visits, but Lord, places where your Spirit remains. Places where your Spirit comes and rest. I pray for a sustained move of God on people's lives this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just challenge us, remind us to not just look for you in the big strokes of our lives, but that we'll welcome open heaven by serving you in the details as well. I pray that over this entire congregation today. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you today. May he bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and give him peace, both now and forever. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.